Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's celebrate what this guy's done. I can't name five guys like you. You can't. You cannot, right?
Thank you, brother. Look at this mansion. Look at the cars, or look at the women. You know, like, those are tangible successes, you could say. Like, right on paper, you could see them. And I almost value the intangibles more, man. Like, I wear the same shit every day. I don't, you know, I have no one to impress.
That, yeah. I feel you are the Bob Marley of this era, that you're so underappreciated with your message and what you have to do and what you've come to do, right? Do you think about that? Are you just like in flow stage always? Do you think about like where your like ceiling is? Does that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, nah. Never really crosses the mind anymore.
Grab that, buddy. See what that feels
love
like.
Love that. Oh, yeah. Feels like home.
Hey, let's go practice. Or were you like, Pops, man, let's go crush it? How was that vibe?
Yeah, it was kind of mainly me. I was very driven to be. I had something intuitive in me as a kid. I had it in me. Like, this is, I felt like it was like the path for me. How to optimize myself, how to improve myself. The guy, the era in the 20s and who I was, and Mike Studd even Mike the baseball player. I think there's one major thing in the universe, really, or in human life, that's so important. And it's like experiential wisdom, I call it. But what is, I'm impressing myself with being on a journey towards betterment, being good to people.
What's your podcast? The Coach HP Show. I was telling you earlier, Michael, I want to call you Michael, man, because I think we're going to go to Michael stage. You know, you're at Mike now, Michael. That, yeah. I feel you are the Bob Marley of this era, that you're so underappreciated with your message and what you have to do and what you've come to do, right? Do you think about that? Are you just like in flow stage always? Do you think about like where your like ceiling is? Does that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, nah. Never really crosses the mind anymore. I think there was an error as I first kind of started. Yeah, I'd say like also paired with just growing up as a man. You know what I mean? You kind of come through these phases in life where you kind of learn what you do value, learn what matters. You know what I mean? And really, like, not just to say that, just like really what gets you going and what really moves you. And thinking about how I'm remembered, or thinking about how, you know, how people are valuing me. Like, are you ranking me? Where am I ranked in society? None of that, all that shit's kind of fell off to the side in regards to like my totem pole of priorities or things that matter.
Well, to me, you are, I was telling you this, you're the number one baseball guy, right? Mm-hmm. That has transitioned after baseball. Yeah. Oh, and that's for you, by the way. Look, grab that, buddy. See what that feels
love
like.
Love that. Oh, yeah. Feels like home.
Perfect. You didn't play Perfect Game, did you?
I did.
You did?
Well, I did. I did a few of their showcases and stuff.
Talk to me about showcases, bro. Because I think showcases are pro pitchers always. Because you guys just fucking fire. And us haters, talk to me about showcases,
man. Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I only did a few. But one paid off. You know, I think I went to one up in Connecticut. I'm from Rhode Island. Not exactly a fucking baseball powerhouse by any means, you know? And I went to one in Connecticut, I believe, and threw well. And that was actually where Duke first saw me, which is where I ended up going to school. And the showcases are fun, but I agree, it's pitcher friendly.
It's all pitcher friendly. Now, I saw an episode where you had your parents, right? Yeah. It strikes me that I think personality-wise, you're thing, your personality is your mom. Yeah. I think like that's the vibe I got. Cause your dad, I got him like very calm, very calculative. Calm. You know, like just like chill guy, right? Mm-hmm. That makes, in my opinion, the best sports dad.
Yeah.
Cause he's not gonna rile you up. Am I right in that?
Yeah,
or no?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, he's a very mild mannered guy, but he was hands on with me. Like we'd work all the time. He was like my main. I think I can credit him for my athletic development, I would call it, because I was gifted, you know, to a certain level, definitely genetically. Like I was like, when I was like 9, 10 years old, like I was like LeBron in like minor league,
really.
Just little league baseball. Like I was just throwing way harder. I was bigger, stronger.
Right.
So I obviously had a bit of a genetic like upside, because that's all just kind of natural. But then, I mean, from the development stage of like, you know, 11, 12 years old up to college age, what it took to get there, where, you know, there was just so much value added by him. He's a physical, you know, personal trainer, just had a background in like athletic sports, weightlifting.
Let me ask you a question. Was he like, hey, let's go practice? Or were you like, pops, man, let's go crush it? How was that vibe?
Yeah, it was kind of mainly me. I was very driven to be. I had something intuitive in me as a kid. Just one, it felt natural, and I felt good at it naturally, helps you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like pass the blowtorch over here.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. I'm fucking here struggling.
Oh yeah, is it not working? The thing?
Not like this. Go for it.
There you go. But yeah. Should we punch back into that? What was I saying? I had a point I was getting to.
A super important point about your dad.
Yeah, yeah. So I was definitely naturally inclined for baseball, let's call it. But then I also just, I was enjoying myself so much on the field that I also kind of had this, I don't know why, but I had it as a kid where I felt as though I could make it my career. I felt like it was a meal ticket. I wanted it. No one was telling me, like, you know, mm-hmm. My parents weren't like indoctrinating that into me. Like, they, you know, I had it in me. Like, this is, I felt like it was like the path for me and an avenue to, not that I get out like of my neighborhood or whatever, but just like had this kind of calling towards it that I knew I could be my vehicle. And I don't know why, now that I reflect on that as an adult, but as a kid, I had that.
You had
that.
Because you have, I think you have, as I study, right, you have very special qualities because guys that look like you aren't smart.
Mm.
And you're like a smart, like you got, I don't know how, I don't know if it's the Rhode Island thing, I don't know, whatever, right? Because I always say, growing up in Miami, we're at a disadvantage from everybody up north, bro. Like, our IQ and our stuff is below, right? Because we're doing other things, but... When did you notice you were a smart dude?
Shit, man. I definitely, again, I think it was, I was genetically like, you know, as a kid, I was pretty inclined to do well in school. And it was like, again, wasn't super indoctrinated. My parents weren't like, do your work. And, you know, interestingly enough, like, it was kind of a means to an end. And I'll kind of explain that, like, I wasn't passionate about learning. I wish I was as passionate as I am now. I feel like most people probably feel this way. As an adult, I'm a much more passionate and in a space to be hungry and thirsty for new knowledge, information, learning. And
what do you like learning about? Like, what do you like learning about
main,
now?
My main, what I'm driven towards now is just because I'm on this vibe is just like universal truths. I'm super into spirituality. How to optimize myself, how to improve myself. Also just, you know, I'm less interested in the history, like, you know, history in the terms of like this, you know, the topic in school, and more so in like the world, the history of the universe, and just like the world and how I feel as though when I read, I'm like, I'm adding layers to myself. I'm adding value to myself.
What value? Like what? So you're here, you're a guy that, and you're like a very polite guy also.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're very like, you have a demeanor about you because you talk about things like example, me and you were talking, we'd be like, bro, we were fucking shit up when we were in our 20s, yeah. Fucking bitches here and there, whatever. Yeah. Right? But you kind of like talk about it and you go, But that was back then. Like, you want to, like, hey, guys, there's an asterisk behind it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it ain't cool. It's cool, but not now, right?
Yeah.
So it's very proper about you, right? So as you try to better yourself or learn, what are you learning?
Yeah. Man, there's so much I've learned that I've, you know, when I talk about the guy, the era in the 20s and who I was and Mike Studd even, or even Mike the baseball player, I think there's one major thing in the universe, really, or in human life, that's so important, and it's like experiential wisdom, I call it, when you experience things, and that's really a big part of what growing up is, right? You know, but in regards to learning, some of the favorite things I've learned is just how to reflect properly, how to respond properly. Why am I the way I am? Why peel back the layers of, like, instead of just accepting my emotions and my thoughts as who I am, you know, the spiritual aspect of life has really taught me to kind of sit behind it and view my thoughts, view my feelings, view my emotions, understand them. And then from understanding them comes awareness, and from awareness comes change.
Right.
I've changed so much about how I respond to the world, how I respond to the bad things that happen in the world or to me, you know. There's a wisdom that comes from just enlivening your spirit. And, you know, this is a totally different version of me, and I am an example of change, and I do think that's powerful, and that's why I can only share on the internet what's real to me and really who I am. That's the whole recipe for me, how I got here.
I love that. Do you think your baseball career would have been better if you would have had that mullet and beard when you played?
Definitely.
Dude, that would have been so sick, man.
It's a no-brainer.
Buddy, when they would have came out of the bullpen and we see a dude with that mullet and that beard.
Probably would have had a few MPHs to the fastball.
Dude, that's 98 easily, bro, yeah. Easily. As a guy that lost his hair, I celebrate that, buddy. Yeah. So congratulations
on
that.
Sir.
I hope it stays thick, man.
Thank you, sir. I hope so, too. Man.
I used to have it wavy like that. I used to go like this, look. Forever,
when did it go,
bro,
for you?
Dude, so I started my sophomore year, I started taking steroids.
Uh-huh.
I'm here in Miami, so I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna start juicing up, I'm gonna get it going.
Yeah.
And I think I took like dirty Sipinade or some shit. Mm-hmm. And I came back, I was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And at the time here, the cool haircut was a flat top. That was like a cool flat top.
Yeah, yeah, with the fade.
And a fade flat top, right? And I'm sitting there, and the barber, the old crewing guy, like everything, these motherfuckers, goes to me. He's doing my hair and he looks down. And you know, I'm pretty tall. You know, you don't see the top of your head. And you don't never, like, look in mirrors and say whatever. He goes to me in Spanish. He goes, oh, pero tú te estás quedando capo. Which is like, bro, you're going bald. Super loud. So the whole fucking place hears it. I'm like, oh, my God. And my dad's cue ball bald, by
the
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brother, and when I saw that, and no one has had more issues with their hair. Mm-hmm. Than me, because, bro, when I went to LA, I decided, here's a funny story since you brought that up. You're going to like the story. So me and The Rock had the same acting coach, a guy by the name of Aaron Spicer, who ironically became famous because he's the one that got Will Smith. So the Wayans brothers, he started with the Wayans brothers. Then he got Jennifer, made her J-Lo. And then he started working with Will Smith, whatever. And when he, and I'm a guy.
And what does he do exactly?
Acting coach. He's an acting coach. He's like directing coach.
Yeah.
And I've always struggled with identity issues. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm a guy that even though you have certain swag or whatever, when you grew up in the 90s and your dad's beating the shit out of you and you don't have a car, you don't have any freedom. Because there's some people like, yeah, my dad was a dick, but at least he didn't care if I came in and around. Or, hey, my dad was a dick, but he was never around. My dad was the worst. I'm going to be around 24/7. I want you next to me. I'm going to be cheap as fuck, and I'm going to beat your ass when something. There's literally no escape, right? And I always wanted to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And something that's very important to you is being yourself, and you've always dialed into being that guy. Yeah. My thing is very weird because I've never done drugs, nothing against drugs, and I never drank in my life, right? So my way of flexing was chicks. So I would fit in with, oh, look at the piece I got, bro. And I was very generous. It's not like I was like, hey, this is my girl. No, hey, for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
You're facilitating.
Super, super chill, super whatever, right? But I sat there, talking about hair, and I did the surgery. So I have this scar, the happy face in the back of my head. Because I go, no, I get surgery and I'm going to be like that guy. You ever seen Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo?
Yeah.
The guy with the long hair. That's how I'm going to be. I'm going to ponytail it, whatever. Yeah. And bro, you got to take Propecia, Proscar, whatever. The mistake I made, Mike, was I tried to be like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Something you haven't done. I came and I was like, oh, all these guys have full set of hair. And agents would tell me, no, you can't be a bald leading guy, whatever, whatever. And here's a funny story, bro.
I think you look, I hate to cut you off, bro. But I think you got a great, great shaped head for a bald head. Some guys can't do it.
But look how it is, right? Look how crazy it is. No, and here's the funny part. And I appreciate that. Who's the number one actor in the world right now? Highest paid guy. Who's the number one social media guy? The Rock. What kind of haircut does
fucking
he have?
Balding,
he's
man.
Fucking bald, right? So Aaron told The Rock. Because he told me, he told The Rock, because at that time, when I was taking class with him, I was jacked. I was like, really jacked. And then he goes to me, listen, man, when I started working with Dwayne, he started the movie called, I think it's Get Shorty with Travolta and stuff like that, where he made him drop all this weight, made him completely different person. And The Rock said, fuck you, I'm going to be myself. And look what happened. Look at me. At the end of the day, I'm a better bald guy than I was here. I used to put topics in my hair. I'd be fucking kung fuing chicks because they were, you know, like I couldn't dive in a pool. Like if I would dive in the pool, done, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I celebrate guys like you. And I don't think too many people have the understanding how important Mike is right now, bro. All this to say, do you feel that at all, man? Do you feel like, dude, I'm not that I'm so important, but man, I got a movement here that I can really lead.
Yeah. First off, well, thank you. And you know, what I can say is it's been a brick by brick, step by step process to get to the level where, you know, other people can notice and take notice of like what we got going on. And it is special, man. It has a special importance to me. And I lead my life with that intention, you know. The universe or whoever's watching, or just to myself, even my own spirit, like I show up every day for it. You know, I don't go to the F1, like you said, you pointed out.
I love that, by the way. The only famous guy in Miami that didn't fucking go to F1 is you, bro. And I love that. Yeah. I love that.
No, you know, like, that's what I mean by show up for it. Like, it has my attention. You know, I have a very interesting approach to creativity. That's why the setup is the setup. The studios, there's a few studios in the house. It's one downstairs, there's one upstairs. When an inspiration comes, I show up. You know?
So inspiration comes, like, let's say you're out here, You're tanning, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Boom, let me go.
Yeah. And what you just said is very, very, very much so valid. Like when I talk about the spiritual importance of my life, like it's just done so much for me as a creative, where I feel like ideas are downloaded.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't even take credit for the idea per se. You know, I think I'm in a space where I'm able to receive ideas. I don't know where they come from. Melodies pop in my head and I can't really, it feels odd to take credit for that as if it's mine. I feel as though it comes through me, and that's how creativity feels to me, and that's why I live my life this way. And really what I mean by showing up is just like my life revolves around this. I'm available for anything that happens to my family, friends, myself. Life happens. I'm so free-flowing. I have no schedule, and things come up all the time that need to be attended to. Valid, and I'll show up for those. Otherwise, I'm living my life in a way to be consistently creatively available. And in regards to your question, I know what we have going on is special and it's rare, and I'm trying to make the most of the opportunity.
Do you know why it's special and rare? Do you have an idea why?
I think there's a lot of different interpretations. You know, I think it's rare in general to be able to create something and create a community of people where, you know, you have steam like I have, or you know, like everyone has their own human experience. And the fact that there's a bunch of people out there that connect with me to a point where they want to support me and show up to the shows or listen to the music consistently, that's special and rare in itself.
Right.
And then to take it another step further in the rare department is just like, to do it totally left of the industry and never say yes to the man. And like, they say sell out, you know, or sell your soul or anything like that. You know, I don't know if it's that important, like, to say sell your soul, but I really do. My soul shines through this completely, and it's completely unbothered, and there's nothing in the way of it. And I think that's why another aspect of why I feel so special or rare, and why I think it's an opportunity, and why I live the way I do, you know?
And you also, you don't get a guy that thinks like you that has talent. Usually people that think this way are like lost. so they're like, yeah, great, but bro, you got talent, right?
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's the equalizer.
Yeah.
Because usually there's guys that are talented that fucking suck as human beings, mm-hmm. and you got great dudes with no talent, so they kind of got to invent. You're in a special spot.
Thank you, man.
You got both, and they're right there together.
I will say, like, those are the type of compliments or accolades. I'll call them an accolade, coming from another person to feel that way and to see it. That's the shit. Oh, we lost our ball. That's the shit that matters to me. Thank you, sir. And if I'm being totally honest, it's what makes me feel good about being here and doing what I'm doing. Like, if I was a fraud and like I walked out of the room and everyone I was with was like, fuck that guy. Like, I didn't have any real love, like real love with my family and friends, or even real love with the fans. Like, I have real connections with a lot of fans. Right. I've been doing this for a long time. If I knew I was being a fraud, I just feel like your soul doesn't let you rest there. Like, there's something else in your life that will fall off the hinges. You won't be able to sleep at night. Your health will decay. I'm able to sleep at night because I feel as though, like I said, like I am very much connected to the essence of what you just said. Like, that's really what matters, you know what I mean? To keep improving as a person and getting more successful financially or tangibly. Like, hey, look at my Grammys on the wall. Look at this mansion. Look at the cars, or look at the women. You know, like, those are tangible successes, you could say. Like, right on paper, you could see them. And I almost value the intangibles more, man. Like, I wear the same shit every day. I don't, you know, I have no one to impress. But what is, I'm impressing myself with being on a journey towards betterment, being good to people.
You're not at the Gucci store, right?
No, I'm not, man. I don't give a fuck. And not to say—
There's nothing against that.
I see value. Like, I understand when you dress nice and you feel good about it helps. Right. And I also think people have their own tastes and interests. Like,
you do you very well.
Yeah,
you
one person loves steak, another person likes chicken. It's not a big deal, you know?
What are you, a steak or chicken guy?
Both.
Both? What kind of steak do you like?
Well, fuck, man. I'm not like a steak connoisseur in regards to, like,
not like that, but what do you like? If you order a steak, like an example, like a classic Cuban steak, filet, un bite palomilla. Is that filet? Bite palomilla, like the lean one, that's classic,
lean,
you know.
Yeah.
With rice and you've had rice and beans and plantains? You like that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
I'm like a huge, in the last 4 or 5 years, like, I love, most of my meals are steak, chicken, rice. Like, I like another aspect of, like, betterment that I think is, like, actually super, super slept on. I think it's becoming more apparent. Just, like, making better choices on what you're eating. I mean, like, I used to eat, like, whatever the fuck I wanted.
That's what we're at, bro. Literally, play baseball, go to McDonald's, crush it, eat four burgers in between games, like, let's go.
You learn, like, man, you learn. There's more
inflation. It's inflation in the body.
Inflammation. Yeah. There's. I was living with extremely high levels of inflammation in my body due to abuse of alcohol, and just like traveling, constantly getting off a flight, going on stage, drinking a bunch of beers, fucking waking up next to the strain. You know, just like this lifestyle, right? And a huge key, just understanding, like, my health, what was going on, my gut health. So yeah, like, bro, I'm a chicken, steak, rice, greens guy most days. And
look at you, look at.
But we don't. I'm definitely not perfect. Like, we.
No, you're.
You know, but
your trajectory has been real interesting, man. Because it's the baseball stuff. It's the artist. I think you're a phenomenal podcaster.
Oh, thank you.
Like,
man,
your interview style, it's interesting because rarely do guys in your position don't interview other people.
Yeah.
They're too busy being themselves. But you're really fucking good at it, right? Because you're yourself and you come out with good questions and with your boys and stuff like that, right? And it's interesting because let's take Christian Yelich, for an example, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know him personally, but I know him because he played for the Marlins. Mm-hmm. So I saw him grow up, right?
Yeah.
When I played, my problem was I tried to hit like Bryce Harper. I'm not a home run guy. I'm a big guy, but I'm a Christian Yelich guy, which wasn't sexy till he becomes the MVP.
Yeah.
And signs the big deal. Oh, see how being yourself is, right?
Yeah.
You being yourself, bro, and I'll go back to that. Did you get that from Pops? Did you get that from your parents? Were you like, bro, I'm good enough as it is. I fit in. How did you get that?
It's been a journey to here, man. My parents are very authentic people. I'm fucking super lucky. And I think growing up is realizing if you're fucking lucky, like, I don't know. I think that's where the humble aspect comes from, or just where humility comes from, is like, I could have had shitty parents. I could have had
of course.
Just, I'm inspired by people like yourself, though. Like, seriously, that, like, you have tough breaks, and you just fucking manage it and you handle it. Like, yeah, I think that's a part of being a human being, is there's ups and downs and highs and lows, but there's no way you can't argue that, like, some people don't have harder, tangible battles to face.
No, and especially you, because right now, do we have a little? Oh, you're the man. This guy we gotta keep, buddy. This guy's the fucking man.
I know, he's the guy.
Big shout out. We gotta give a shout out to Pomp too. Our way, Pomp, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta shout him up. Pomp's the man.
Pomp's the guy. Because, I'm about to link with him soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has a suit. He's gonna come here. You're gonna go to his spot.
I'm gonna go to his spot. Yeah.
Nice. It's right there in Brickell's. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. He's the best. You. Because it's so funny what you said, because right now in the era of, I'm white privilege or whatever, mm-hmm. right? It's interesting because we've totally separated humans in general. Mm-hmm. We're like, you got blue eyes. You have no feelings, bro. You don't count, right?
Right.
And that sucks. And I'm in the vibe or the thing of, dude, let's celebrate what this guy's done. Let's take a moment here to understand that dudes like this don't come across super, like, this ain't like, hey, bro, you, who's the next? I can't name five guys like you. You can't. You cannot, right?
Thank you, brother.
So as you project yourself, and one of your biggest turns was, I really, really saw who you were during COVID when you were doing the beer pong thing.
Yeah.
I go, this dude's blowing up with this thing. Like, this thing is really hitting. And then obviously hanging out with Post Malone, whatever, right? Yeah. The fact that you said you have like three songs or a bunch of songs with that dude isolated somewhere in Bitcoin Ether somewhere, right? In crypto world, right? It goes to show you how much credit you have and in patience and the process and in friendship or whatever, because anybody else calls that dude up and says, listen, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Let's leak this shit. Can you do me a favor? Can you look the other way for about a month?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you don't do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Shit, man. I don't know. I think I came to a realization pretty quick, especially in LA, and then maybe making mistakes, but just being young and eager, and then, you know, you're in LA and you kind of see how eager everyone is, and everyone's driven by like this greater force, and it's really just popularity, attention, fame. And I don't know. I just feel as though all the most fruitful things in my life are just done the right way, the step-by-step way. Never really been as much as I might have wanted it to happen. My life or the universe has always kind of taught me to allow the things to flow in your life.
I love that, bro. I'm the reverse, man. I have had to bulldoze. Yeah. You mentioned that you bulldoze things through.
Yeah.
I've bulldozed, like, Coach HP has had to, like, bulldoze through. If we would have done this, if we were supposed to do this interview Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Remember you were at that spot? Yeah. I was going to bring my chicken. That almost cost me my marriage. I said, babe, we're going to come Good Friday. We're going to put one camera there.
Yeah.
I have this jacked up DSLR that after 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Because to me now,
because
I had nothing growing up,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to let things come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So everything to me is like, if you would have told me, listen, bro, we're going to do this, but we're going to have to go on a tree on the biggest mission of the world. 99% of people go, I don't know, bro. That ain't meant to be. Me, I'm like, oh, that's the sign. Let's go for
it. That's an amazing quality. Like, a lot of this shit that I say, it's a journey to here, is like, I really wasn't like this ever. I really wasn't. I was, and I do think, like, that's a quality of like why I even arrived here. I used to be the exact same way. Like I didn't grow up. I grew up very middle class. Like always. I don't know. You kind of hinted towards it, or like I think you get the gist of it. Is like underappreciated and under the radar is how I've been the entire time. And you could look at it objectively and be like, the fuck are you talking about, bro? Like, you played baseball at Duke and you...
No, we're talking about apples to apples, not apples to apples.
Yeah, like, but what I'm saying is, like, I was from Rhode Island and no one really thought I'd ever play Division One. Like, mm-hmm. There's maybe one or... maybe sometimes there's a few guys that make it out of there, but it's always been... like, I was never the highly touted recruit. And then in music, I've always been the odd man out. Like, I was kind of like a jock doing it. They wrote me off as like a college guy. Oh, this is college music.
Mike, when you
like,
saw that, right? Same as in pitching. Same as, the jock guy's in 88. He's bullshit up there. Yeah. Right? What did you tell yourself? Because some people that are the most masculine people in the world are like, oh, my God, they're right.
Yeah.
But you, what did you tell yourself? Because this is what I care about. What did you tell yourself where you're like, nah, fuck these motherfuckers. I got this.
Yeah. It was actually like the same bone in my body that made me like a bulldog pitcher. Just bulldog it, like bootstrap it. I showed up in the studio every day and learned and just got better and better and better. Like I record myself. I do it all myself.
You do voice training?
Nah, I just
you're
like
lucky, bro.
I definitely have the way I feel like it works, or at least what my life is showing to me as the truth is just like there's hidden nuggets and golden nuggets in everybody's DNA and everybody's life, and it's just like not missing those opportunities. And what I mean by that is like I got injured. It was my first experience with like true hardship, right? I was always kind of fast on this pace in my life that...
No, you were going to be a top draft pick. You're going in the first round.
It was coming to fruition.
If you look at a guy who is a freshman, to have a 1-point-something ERA as a closer, Division One with an aluminum bat, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what's happening. That you got to give yourself credit for that. You know, that doesn't happen, especially because the closer really doesn't exist in Division One.
Yeah.
Right? Because usually and they weren't using BB cores back then, right?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So literally, dude, if you left it a certain place, that thing's going 500 feet.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had something. So, you know, what I meant by like golden nuggets and people is like, yeah, I was born with this gift to play sports. I knew it innately. I knew baseball would somehow be my ticket out. I operated in that space as a kid. For whatever reason, I had that in me.
Right.
The same golden nugget was like, and I know how fucking lucky I am to have another one in there. But I did have this little inclination as I was injured, like, I couldn't play for a year and a half. I was 16 months out for Tommy John. All my boys were traveling every weekend to go play, you know, Clemson or North Carolina or whatever, and I'm alone in the house. I had this weird intuitive feeling to record some music. Right. And man, I had some beginner's luck. Like one of the first songs I recorded went a little viral. Like I don't know how I'd
no big no viral. No big viral. Big
yeah,
viral.
Yeah. I had no relatively. I mean, I just had no plan. I can't take credit for some plan for this, you know, but what I can say is once I realized I had a little something here, it was a gift. I don't know why I at least knew how to control my voice to a certain extent. I had innately had a little gift with words to writing. It just felt like this obvious next thing to nourish. The same way I nourished my baseball ability and I elevated my baseball ability with showing up, I showed up for this, and I really did. When I could have been partying and fucking off when I first got money, and yeah, we were partying and fucking off still, but I was literally...
You were working. No, you
I
were
was
working.
Always working. Ending up in the studio. I was working through that.
That's part of the work. Listen, you're singing and people are into you. Hey, that's one of the perks of this thing, you know?
It really was. It was a wave. Like, I was squeezed the juice out of the rooms I was in with like the girls around or the party at my house and capturing the essence of those feelings into the music. I did that really well, but I it's been 10 years of like, I've never taken a break, bro.
And you're still so young and you're still
so
young.
My studio's in the house. Yeah. Like I'm working all the time and I do feel as though I have felt the aha moments in my being where like I knew I was improving and I knew what I wanted to sound like and I was finally executing it, you know?
Executing big time. Mike, what have you learned as a podcaster, bro? Because you've interviewed people. There's a rhythm to it. What's your take on the podcast world? Obviously, you're a guest, like you're here, but you have your own. What's your vibe on that?
I gotta say, man, like, it feels therapeutic. You know, like, in today's day and age and how my life is, I feel like I'm a little short on time most days. I want more of it. And I do feel as though real, genuine conversations where everyone, all distractions are ruled out, it's kind of an anomaly. It's kind of a special thing.
Right.
And I realized that I would get clarity on things just from having conversations, you know, and I've learned to listen a lot better because I had no practice. I did it. And if you look back in the beginning, it was coming from a place of insecurity or even just not knowing how to do it yet. But I had a thought, so I wanted to get it out versus just like letting you bring the next thought to me. And, you know, we're gifted, our gifts from God or whoever is one mouth, two ears, you know. You're supposed to listen twice as much as talk. And I do feel as though I've developed into being a better listener, even in my own personal relationships, just through kind of like this experience of doing podcasting. And, you know, again, I'm not a full-time podcaster. It's not my main thing, but I love it. And it's something I want to continue just because I think it brings value to people. I've also known, the podcast, I started it because I was killing off Mike Studd and I couldn't talk about it publicly yet because I knew I had to build the sound. The sound had to be different.
Right.
I wanted to make different sound
now,
music.
As an amateur, right?
Yeah.
Woosah, is that Mike or Mike Studd?
That's Mike.
Which,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's all Mike shit.
That's awesome. That's awesome, right? But no, there was some Mike Studd stuff before,
yes.
Right? Mike Studd was more, and that's very difficult to do because if you look at Mike Studd has views in the millions,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though this is better, fits your character, whatever. So a lot of people would be like, fuck that, man. I'm going to stay dancing. Hey, yeah, chicks in bikinis and the whole thing, right? I love that your video style is vlog style.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you do the concerts. I love that you prove, obviously, you have so much juice that you don't need lights, you don't need bullshit, you don't need some dickhead director going, all right, girls, go here, Mike, bring out the flag behind him, bullshit, right? You just use, right? Which is awesome, bro. That's there's no formula here that I go, that'll lose. I think everything's a win.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, man. And it's, to be honest, it's fairly calculated in the sense of like being uncalculated is calculated for me, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like I know what I think is cheesy or what I think isn't, right? So really that's what every artist or every creator is trying to do. It's just make shit that is exactly, it's transparent. It's like, it translates easily into content. Like I'm not doing anything different than what I'm already doing, and that's my content, if that makes any sense. This all makes sense to me, the way we're doing it. It all, this era in my last 2-3 years of like, everything just makes sense. That is the brand. It's perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly authentic and posing for anything, whether it's a conversation, it's a post, it's a podcast, it's a music video. Posing and setting anything up is just lame to me. And at least for me, for my brand. I'm not saying it's lame for other people.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, just for me, like the whole thing this stands for is just like, if you're independent, and I'll keep the music industry talk to a minimum, really. But
dude,
it's like,
you talk all you want, bro.
Yeah, it's like,
how about the next hours on the music industry?
Being independent musically means like you're not going to get promoted and thrown marketing into people's face, really. I mean, social media is doing a great job of giving a vantage point
the internet
to the independent creator.
But
for the most part, what I'm saying, the essence of what independent musician or creator is there just has to be a connection between the consumer and the person,
which
right?
Which you got.
Yeah, and that comes with authenticity. I think human to human, like human A can tell subconsciously if human B, or at least is trying to tell if human B is full of shit or not.
Gives a fuck. No, you could tell because like I watch you, I watch people's stuff, and you can't lie. I watch how they post, and I watch their strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I see you after the show, and it's the problem with politics now, because politics now almost seem like, oh, wait a minute, there's a minority. Bro, let's get this minority here. Hey, you, raise your hand. Hey, look at me talking to minority. Cool, cool, right? But you sit there, which is more work, after a thing, bro, and you're signing hats. Mm-hmm. And you're signing.
Yeah.
That's hard to do after you've performed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not easy, bro. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a time and you got to be somewhere, whatever. And the fact that you had to be transparent now with I love how you handled. You had some adversity with your team. You dealt with it in a certain way. And I told you off thing, and I'll tell you that now. You gave an example of how to deal with stuff that you don't want to deal, right? It's super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You had... Your fans buy a hat, buy a shirt. They're expecting it. Doesn't even show up. So the way you handle that, I think that was top notch, bro.
Thank you, bro.
I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, shit happens, right? Life happens, and it's unfortunate what happened. But at the same time, you could argue it's fortunate.
Yeah.
Because I have an understanding and I have clarity on one. What was going on with the back end of mm-hmm. my business, because it didn't make sense to me. Numbers were very lopsided, let's say. And then secondly, just like getting closure on some of the bad feelings I had about this for a while or this person. And then three, a clear path towards repairing the relationship that's been damaged. What I was saying about being an independent artist is like the relationship with these people, your fan base, is literally make or break. Like, it's not like, hey, I'm fucking A-list celebrity, so fuck all you guys. I'm not signing anything. I got to get on the jet, right? But either way, I'm going to be on the late night show tonight and I'm going to be on the fucking radio for the next 90 days. With or without you guys liking me personally, I'm off to the races. Fuck you guys.
I'm winning.
There's no such thing in my world. So one of the more painful aspects of this situation was realizing how, you know, opening my eyes, let's say, to how much damage has been done. And when I think about it across the, let's just say, empire for the sake of what it is, right? Like, there's multiple revenue streams in this mic world that we're living in. And where that it's been damaged, most of the consumers have had some type of negative experience with purchasing something from my businesses. Mm-hmm. It's damaging, and it's like what that does generally is like, yeah, people might be like, you know, I fuck with Mike's music, but like I ain't fucking, they don't know how to do business or whatever it is. Like whatever, I can't quantify how many people that are fans of mine or consumers of mine that had a bad experience that just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not buying anymore.
But I'll give you a second chance. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like once you take people's money, it's a different thing.
But I love how you held accountable and you put a post and you put several of them saying, listen, if you bought something, whatever, show us proof, we're going to get that shit to you ASAP. And I'm going to come out and be on and I'll sign and stuff. That's super customer service orientated, because when you only got five fans, it's easier, right? But when you have 500,000 or in the millions, like where you're at, whatever, that's hard to keep that consistency.
Can't tell you how much time I was spent doing customer service, because I was aware of what was going on to a certain extent.
Right.
I wasn't aware at the volume.
Right.
But I would get some trickle down, because people, like, my fans are so cool. They're like, yo, they're really trying to bother me about this. The whole reason this person was in the fold is just because, like, man, I have a tiny team. The people living in this house.
Yeah, you're on top of everything. It ain't like...
So it's like... And I also had a checks and balance. Like, I had an accounting firm who was just taking this guy's word as bond and not doing the due diligence. Yeah. So I also had a checks and balance, but I wanted to empower somebody that I've known for a long time, and I wanted to...
To win.
I wanted him to win, one, but two... Like, he's the only guy in my immediate group that had any wherewithal in regards to web design, any wherewithal in regards to creative design for clothing, any wherewithal in regards to just e-commerce structure. So the obvious choice in my group, ironically, like, I'm trying to make decisions, you know, I've never done a record deal. I'm very cautious about partnering with people. I've had tons of friends with money want to invest. I've never taken it. Because I just... If I'm going to do that, it has to be truly organic and truly I guess, what's the word? Digestible, like a digestible version of like, hey, here's what your money is worth. Here's why you owning 30% of these songs will give you $1 million of value in X amount of years, which is what I'm in the process of doing. I'm building something really interesting with a group of the same people that found what was going on with this guy.
Right.
It's the new team that I'm bringing on to create this infrastructure where, like, I don't hire a manager, which is what every artist hires. I'm hiring a COO, chief of operations, to back end all the businesses. And even in the music side, taking it a step further, like, I lost the ball again.
Can you throw the ball when you get a chance, everybody?
Taking it a step further to, like, truly understand the economics of the music industry and then creating it in a way to where now I can take investments. My whole enterprise is valued. Here's what, wow. We're making, should we audible?
Sorry about that, bro.
No, all good.
Sorry about that.
But I'm making this version of I guess, music industry economics.
Right.
And creating this strategy towards being able to take private, like, imagine a publicly traded artist.
That's you, yeah, like an NFT, bro.
Like, think
you
about,
could become an NFT.
Even just like the idea of just structuring the artist in that sense, the business of the artist in that sense, is something I'm working on. And it's really like, you know, getting back to the point, it's just like, I'm really, you know, cautious about bringing people on when you take people's money and then they're involved. And what I've really tried to cultivate here is just independence, meaning I don't have to answer to anyone. I don't have any schedules that aren't mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are so important to me. So having this person in this position, you know, I had him there, albeit underqualified, because I didn't want to let people in that weren't in. I didn't want to bring, you know, other people that would be new this close into the nucleus.
Right, right.
Ironically,
look who got it.
What is trying to protect myself from, you know, happened directly in that scenario. And you know what? That's another lesson learned. Like, it's okay to change your mind about ideas. Like, of course, my company is called For the Homies. Mm-hmm. Like, my For the Homies Ventures, For the Homies Records, For the Homies Apparel. My whole business model, my whole approach to this was to do it with your friends.
Like the bullpen, buddy.
Do it with your
buddies. Like the bullpen, yeah.
Do it with your buddies. And like, I know the fucking saying, like, don't do business with friends and family.
Well, unless you're LeBron. That worked for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, and it's worked for me. I'm not going to let this bad experience define my outlook. But I also can say, yeah, I held that. I held doing it with the homies too close to my heart and made some... and. It bled into being a little too lenient, a little too passive, and maybe valuing like, hey, I want to do it with my core group of guys, valuing that a little bit more than what was best for
the
company.
What was best for the cost. You mentioned being, we talked about being a dad, right?
Yeah.
What about your parents? Would you like to instill in your kids? What about your parents?
Selflessness. Both my mom and dad had two very different people, but they just are selfless people. My mom's a little different than my dad personality wise, but you know, they both just shined through when I think back about the past. Like, they just cared so much about us and what we wanted. My sister and
you
I.
And your sister, yeah,
yeah,
you have a sister.
And just like, trying to protect us and bring as much value as they can. I mean, again, they made enough to fucking make sure we felt so comfortable as kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's such a gift, you know, such a gift to give to your kids is just comfort. Meaning like they feel secure and safe to be themselves and to chase their passions. And I would say selflessness is like something that I've adopted as what I want to be more and more of. And it is challenging as an artist because being an artist is kind of a selfish position. It's like, you got your team, like, yo, can you get me this? Can you get me that? Like, I have to go. And it's just, there's validity to some of those things that you ask of your people around you, but it's also like, I don't want to live this selfish existence either. And I also have learned, which is like, if you pay attention to my social media, it's like really what I'm trying to share, because it's what's true to me, is like, being selfless is actually kind of selfish. And I'll explain. It's like, I live by some of the shit that I think moves the universe, and is universal truths, I call them. It's just like, the more you give, the more you get, man. And like, it might not come in such an X, you know, X plus Y equals Z or whatever. What I'm trying to say is like, it comes in other ways through your existence. And the more you're willing to give with nothing expected, the more willing you are to be present, even just with your time, to give your time to somebody, and give your ear to somebody. I think those are the people that continuously find a way to win. I know you talk about being a positive, one of the most positive people on the internet. And to be honest, that's kind of what attracted me to even having you here.
Right.
You know, like I just see so much value in positivity, and, you know, somebody like yourself who's had, you know, you had a father who treated you the way he did. And to, you know, we talked off camera how much you value being a dad yourself and being leaning positive, man. I don't know. I know what happened to my life when I started to wire myself towards positivity.
How were your parents with discipline?
They were pretty tough.
Because what I'm noticing is, so I get about 1,000 DMs a week with parents in problems with their kids, mm-hmm. right? Especially, and you're not in the little league world. I am.
Yeah, yeah.
So especially moms that, like, single moms, or like last week I had a call with a mom, but unfortunately her husband died when she was pregnant with their third kid, he was born like 3 months, so serious stuff, right?
Yeah.
And what's happened is your dad, now us as dads, we're so into, hey, we're buddies, whatever, that we forget the discipline part, right?
Yeah.
Which is the number one thing,
yeah,
right? Discipline. So your parents, that's why I have respect for you and your parents, because you're structuring in a way that, like, my dad was the best, bro. Here's the key to the car, bro. Here's $100. Go crush it.
Yeah.
He's like, no, bro, you fucked up. So when you would fuck up, right? Mm-hmm. You got popped something. How would your parents deal with that? Would they pull you aside and say, listen, bro?
No, they would punish me.
Would they say it in a cool way where you're not like, I hate you, and leave? Or how would they do that? Because that's the secret right there.
Yeah, no, my mom was more the disciplinarian vocally. My dad's a quiet guy. But, you know, they put their foot down if I was ever out of line. I think in the parenting situation, it's just like, do you want your kid to like you now or like you later?
There's a saying that goes, if you raise your kids, you get to hang out with your grandkids, right? Mm. If you spoil your kids, you get to raise your grandkids.
Mm.
Think about that,
right? That's a cool thing.
And one of the things that, because I started to analyze, I go, man, why am I so liked by these kids while being the most disciplined guy in the world? Because I would set the tone right away.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, listen, which this is the biggest pandemic that's happening right now, is parents, especially moms, carrying their kids' equipment. That, like, drives me crazy, bro. Like, I do a post every Saturday. I'm at a different park. Look, there's another parent, whatever. Because you cannot raise a warrior. You can't expect the kid to get out of the car. And it's always the same vibe. The parent, 5 steps ahead of the kid. The little kid's like, la, 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 la. And holding this, that, whatever. And the danger that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, man.
You know, it's I can say that I feel as though... the discipline, I had very, very strong-willed, kind of, in retrospect, like, a little abusive, like, a little weirdly emotionally abusive, or, like, maybe just, like, power-hungry type guys. I don't know why, but I had a few of those in my lifetime, which is fine. But what I can say is, like, parents included, but, you know, through being a baseball player, I don't know if I'm here, sitting here right here talking to you, having this conversation, if I didn't have the discipline instilled in me through being a baseball player. And baseball is a game that kind of develops your patience. You know, it's like there's a lot of attributes as an adult that I feel as though were cultivated through playing sports growing
Super
up.
Super right, because like I'll give you an example. You right now are we're doing good on time?
Yeah, I'm chilling, bro.
You cannot go to a coach. Hey, coach, I know I usually come in the ninth. Can I come in the fifth, fuck around a little bit, let me get a couple outs, come back, right? We can't do that.
Outlandish. You can't do that, right? Yeah.
Or they put you in the fourth, you get shelled. You can't go, fuck, man, I didn't have it there. Let me go rewire my mind. Let me get him in the ninth. All these other sports, you literally, if you drop a pass in football, they can throw you another pass. In basketball, you can literally steal the ball, whatever. But baseball forces you to wait, sit there, and ponder life. Because even you, an All-American, whatever, sometimes when you were at, was it Georgetown that you played, or maybe whatever, then you were thinking to yourself, while you had that beautiful uniform on, what the fuck am I still doing here? Mm-hmm. By yourself?
Absolutely.
With three cats in the stand? And you're like, what am I doing here,
absolutely.
Bro?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a really, really good point. I don't think I've ever heard anyone put it that way. It is a very interesting game. I think that's why sports are kind of like so beloved by humans innately. It's just like millions and millions and billions of people, just whether it's this sport or that sport, there's something that it does to you. And that's a really good point about baseball, man. Like, you can't force the ball to come to you. You got to sit there and you have to pay attention and you have to be aware, mind, body, be aware and be ready. And I think what I was talking about, showing up for my ideas creatively, like I'm literally feel like I'm in the field and I'm like, I'm in fielding position, like waiting for an idea to come. And if it comes, I'm going to fucking gobble it up and I'm going to fucking deliver it to first base and I'm going to get it out. And that's like how, that's literally like, if I feel as though I'm inspired to do something, I hop in and it's me just trying to be aware, like ready for the ball to come my way, you know?
What was it, if you could share, what was your last inspiration that you remember?
My last inspiration? Yeah. I mean, it happens every day. A lot of time, like, so a lot, most of the shit that I'm talking about is just stuff that I know it's happening to me, and I can only articulate what the hell is happening to me, right? But like, the more that I spend alone time, the less shitty food and alcohol, the more time I spend in nature, the more time I spend, having conversations that need to be had, whether it's with your friends or family or whatever, just life, right? The less I'm just in my crib on my phone or beating my head against the wall trying to write to a song that isn't ready to be written yet. You know what I mean? Like, I do all these things. I move my body or whatever. Like, all these things, I meditate, I journal. All of these things I feel like are putting me in a creative space of readiness. My slate is clean. You could argue, oh, isn't that distracting? You could just be in the house and not focus, not go outside, not focus on anything. Don't talk to your mom if she needs to talk. The art is just like my life bottled into a song form.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, so the more
that I'm living, that's where the inspiration is.
That's the key.
I don't really need the alcohol or like the women or when I was making music about that, I was doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like...
Right.
What I can say, the one continuity through it all is my life is inspiring the art, you know what I mean? And it's like input and output, you know what I mean? It can't just all be output. I need input.
You need input. Question. So, yeah. You had a, there was somebody that asked you something about tour.
Yeah.
And then you told them, listen, I'm in part of a thing now, like a part of festivals or whatever.
Yeah.
That you were going to, I don't know if it was 2024 or whatever, that you're going to do the own mic tour,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Talk to me about that. Is that in the works? Is that coming? How do you think about that?
Yeah. So, just 2021, I put out an album called The Highs. That was the first album from the rebrand from Mike Studd to Mike. And that was a big step forward.
Is Rodman in that one too?
Yeah. That was on that album. Yeah.
My two favorite songs, by the way, is Woosa.
Mm-hmm. And
Rodman. You know, I'm a melody guy,
mm-hmm.
so I don't listen to words too much,
but
the vibe of it, I really like.
Yep, I feel that.
Like you crushed that.
Thank you, man. Yeah, so, touring has always been a huge instrument to me in regards to just like, this is an aspect of the business. I get to exercise, you know, I get to create revenue here, but also just exercise this connection to the fans and like these moments and these vibes and these rooms that make people lifelong fans, you know? So the value is always there. I'm just going to, as the popularity's grown and as I'm becoming into this kind of new view on my life and just my time, I'm just going to be very thoughtful. Like I passed on a national and international deal this year that I could have been in fucking Europe right now. But I have more or less the beauty of my situation is that I get to create my schedule. And if that schedule is no schedule, which is the case a lot of the time,
right,
that's what's best for me.
I'm not doing the ACC tournament this year, guys. Yeah. I'm sitting this one out. You guys can go play. Yeah. I'll watch it from afar.
And like the most of the industry is in this.
The
like,
reverse, yeah.
The opposite thing that I feel like would drown me.
It's the Lauryn Hill thing you posted today.
Yeah.
That was the perfect thing.
Yeah,
listen, I'm not forcing this thing.
Yeah, yeah. I said never force a vibe. That's the easiest way to kill it, you know?
Right.
Like, so, you know, I had this really fruitful, lucrative deal we passed on. Most people in my world would be like, why? You know, but for me, it's like, I know I have this album to finish. I know what space I want to be in. I know I have some things in my life that are coming, personal things that I want to be present for. And I know what that will turn into the next time I get on the road and I do a mic tour. It's going to be on the heels of a new album, which I know is special. I'm really excited about. And this festival thing is like the first time as an independent artist, I'm being recognized at this level to where, you know, I'm playing bigger stages, bigger crowds, and just being involved in something that I always was kind of left out of. Because really, it's heavily political.
Oh, because you have the guy. You have the plug.
Yeah,
that's like has other people, and they're like, oh, you're going to, like an example, I'm Post Malone's manager. Oh, you want Post Malone? Perfect. But you got to take Mike.
That's exactly what they do. Yeah, it's exactly what
they do. What happens in sports a lot? You're like, oh, this is this guy. Now you got to get his homies right, and this
right,
and that, right?
Right.
But you've eliminated bullshit. But what happened is talent. If you give talent enough time to figure itself out, oh, there's the dude. Wait a minute. So I had a show. We had 10 artists. One guy, fucking everybody went crazy for him. They're still talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fucking dude.
Yeah.
That's the dude.
My dad used to say something when I was a kid all the time. He said, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So it might take a little time, but if it's the truth, like I have Ball Don't Lie tattooed here.
You have what? What is it?
Ball Don't Lie, which is like, the term.
Oh, Ball Don't Lie. Of course,
yeah,
of course.
It's just like, that's what it means to me. It's just like, time will always be honest, you know?
No, buddy, I have Time Will Tell right there for you. Look, there you go.
Yeah, see, we got a lot of alignments. But that honestly puts into it, categorizes how I'm moving.
Like, so special. So good,
just
man.
Like, I'm not really, I don't have any big goal. I feel inspired. I'm trying to just cultivate my own inspiration and trusting that if I keep doing what's in my heart, it's going to work out, you know? And that's where kind of where it begins and where it ends. It might be like kind of a blah to some people, you know, like some people are kind of turned off by not having goals, or it's not to say I don't have short-term goals, but you know what I mean? I'm just like,
no, but you have a plan.
Yeah.
You're just not like, okay, if I don't get this and I got to be in Billboard, you're not. What I hear as a normal person, as a civilian, is you're not complicating yourself.
Yeah, no.
Like you looked at a plan and you go, wow, that figure looks amazing. Wait a minute, I got to do this and that?
Mm-hmm.
No. Like an example. Hey, well, the Yankees just called.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, we want you back. You got to shave? You got to go the mullet. You're like, no.
Yeah,
I'm going to go
play
for Oakland.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah,
where some people, 99% of us are like, fuck the beard, bro. Wow.
Playing,
but I got to get paid.
Yeah. I'm playing in Oakland where I can do what I want. And maybe it's in front of less people.
But you can go, you're going to go down as long as you don't give this up. You're a guy. And I said this before. You put a post of Joe Rogan talking to Luke Combs,
mm-hmm.
and saying, if you know music is good when you can hear it on a boat. And you put that in story, right?
Yeah.
And your music, like I told you, you can hear hooking up with a chick on a golf cart, on a boat, cutting grass,
mm-hmm.
partying, studying, driving somewhere,
yeah,
before a podcast, or that's fucking universal, man. It's like breathing. Okay, so it's like you, there is no losing in you. It's literally like I sing, that's gonna win somewhere. Now where it wins, I can't control.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Am I crushing Kansas? Am I crushing Miami? We don't know yet, but it's gonna crush somewhere.
It's interesting you point that out, because it's, again, it's like an uncalculated calculation. It's just like, man, I know how I'm living my life, right? So the music reflects that. Like if when I was partying a lot more, there was more party feeling where like you might not be able to say that about the music, you know? Why I value living my life so balanced is I feel like it comes through in the music, to where like whatever you're doing, it's lifestyle music, I call it. It's just like
the best,
you can live your life to it, you know? And
you know what I like also, that you're not like forcing it, because a guy like you can go, okay, let me go find a country guy to go leech off his juice. Now let me get my hip hop boy. So let me just stay in the mix, whatever. And I honestly think that's coming, but organically.
Yeah.
Where one dude's going to be like, fuck man, how come I haven't hit up Mike yet? Mike, come over here. Let's fucking, I got everything you want, bro. No excuses.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a shaman over here. I'm going to put a yoga mattress over there. Yeah. I'm going to put this over here. And I want you to create. And if you'd like something, I'm going to come in. And if you like it on top of that, we're going to wear the blue jerseys. You like the blue jerseys, Mike? No, I want to wear the all whites. Mike, we're going to wear the all whites. You know what I'm saying? I think that's coming, bro.
I don't want to even like imply that I've never yearned or gone out of my way to try to include other people or do certain things. Because I come from more of that space, like the space you're talking about, where like you got to hustle and move and shake, you know? All I can say is that through doing it, all the most fruitful stuff and the best stuff, it's just coming from within when I'm just doing what I gotta do. And then if someone comes and comes to what I'm building,
which is coming, that's coming.
You know, it's like the post thing.
No, but that's coming now. But this version, right?
Yeah.
Because that happened while you guys were beer ponging.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. But I think that's coming now. A couple more questions, bro. I used to rescue pit bulls for a little bit. Right?
That's dope.
I want to talk about your relationship with your dog. This dude has seen everything. This guy's the one guy. Yeah, buddy, we're talking about you here.
He's the best.
What do you love the most about your dog?
Man, it's my guy. I think my favorite thing about just dogs in general, but him in particular, is just like there's a presence that he has. I call him the CEO. And we have a brand, Stevenson Ranch, and he's like
he's the guy. He's the mascot. Yeah, he's the man. He's the face.
But he's just like, the presence that he has over me, and I think that's kind of what dogs have over people. It's just so endearing. Is it kind of teaches you what really matters in a weird way. Like, he don't give a fuck what I'm doing, what song I just made, or how many views or likes or whatever. It's just like more about the essence of what life is really about. It's just like presence. He wants to play. What's you know, that? He wants to go for a walk.
He wants to hang.
And there's just something really calming about having him. I think that's what so many people love about the companionship of dogs. And just feeling like they never judge you, you know?
And how did you come across him? Did you buy him? Did you rescue him?
Yeah, so we tried to rescue. So in Los Angeles about 6 years ago, we tried to rescue. We went to a place in Los Angeles. What was the name of that place? Were you there, Versace? I don't think so. It was called... I'm going to put them on blast because they sucked. The place was called Barking Bitches, right? Okay. And it was this place where in L.A., it was on Fairfax. And they had like, you know, all types of dogs, walks of life. You could walk in and pet them and play with them, and then you could potentially take them and adopt them. And we tried to adopt one, and they denied us because like we were young. We had only been living in LA for a year, and I was, you know,
they didn't pre-qualify you. Like, these guys not ready to be a dad.
Yeah, like went through the process, and they more or less said like, nah. And like they were wrong. You know, and I knew that. So I was like I was upset. I was kind of pissed. And then literally that day, I get on the internet. I'm with a few people. We were looking. And we just saw,
we saw a picture
on this website. And his name was, Ponyboy Curtis.
And you're like, oh boy.
And his little face. And I was just like,
that's my
guy. I was like, who? So we called for him. And then the guy that answers the phone, his name's Steve. And it's like, that's already an inside joke thing.
That's your thing. Yeah,
we call everybody
Steve. Steve.
So that was it.
And in Cuban, that'd be a TV. Because, you know, as Cubans, we put the E in front of stuff. So, that's why, like, a school, a stop sign.
Escuela.
Escuela. But in English, we do it in English.
Okay.
So, like, the Cubans that don't speak English, they're right. So this guy's a TV.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, that was a no-brainer when we knew it was a Steve thing. So, yeah, he's honestly just... Everyone in this house is just obsessed with him.
No, of course. How long have you had him for?
6 years, a little over 6 years. So,
and what's the lifespan on that? This guy's gonna live forever, but what's the?
Yeah, I think at the maximum it's like 15. At the average, it's like 11, 12.
So he's gonna see your kids.
Yeah,
buddy, how special is that, huh? And he's gonna see Junior.
For sure.
And you have a name already for you. Are you gonna go Mike Junior with Homeboy, or are you gonna go like European? You go European, I can tell. Damn, Francesco, this guy's good. Gianni,
I don't know, man. Whatever.
This guy's going European with
you. I don't plan these things. So yeah.
But oh my God,
wanna have kids some point soon ish.
So. Dude, I'm so proud of you as a dude. As a person that I failed my whole life incredibly, I notice guys that are winning in a sincere way, and I am so thankful that you took the time, man, to sit with me, to schedule back and forth. I had a little system where I would always DM the story, and I you gave me one a day, and I would kind of patient that, but it's the hardest thing when you which is what you have, right? You knew you were gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you were going to be good to that one dog, but they said no, right? I know that everybody I sit with, you're going to come out, I guarantee you, you're going to come out better than you're going to come in.
It.
But they don't know that. So I can't. And one of the things we talked about is the controlling of expectations,
mm-hmm.
right? I know that when I sit with somebody, right? And I've looked, my first interview that I had Chris on was an interview, a guy that it went, but I know I fucked it up. Because I did little things. I was like, but I learned from it, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen again, bro. Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, man, I have a tradition that every guest has to ask me a question. Just ask me a question, bro. What can I help you with? Ask me a question. Talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to spring it on me last second here. I don't want to waste the opportunity.
You got to ask as many as you want, but just one, and maybe that one might...
Yeah.
Lead to more stuff, you know, but you could ask me something.
I hope you don't mind me going this way. It's just, like I said, it is what inspires. When I hear things, people go through tough situations, it inspires. That's the more inspiring stuff in the world to me. So I would ask, have you ever, what's your relationship with your father now?
It's awesome. A lot of people ask me that. So I'm the kind of guy that everything bad that happens to me is my fault. So, and I've, for some, if you got to get that. I always felt that the reason why I was getting the shit kicked out of me was for good. But I didn't know what that good was going to be. Kind of like I've always, I don't know if you ever watched, this is crazy, but have you ever watched Lord of the Rings?
Mm-hmm.
And like The Hobbit and all that? So my whole life, I wanted to be Aragorn. Who's like the king and the guy, whatever. But I'm way more powerful as Gandalf. And I noticed that my flow led to be a guy that if you looked at Gandalf's character, Gandalf's the most powerful guy of all. He's the wizard, he's old, whatever. But he can only use, and I've read this, he can only become powerful to help others. Not himself. So that can go, okay, now I'm the man, I'm gonna get here. No. Now, but if I gotta protect you, here I come. Right? So when you're growing up and your dad's beating the shit out of you, and not only hitting me, he's hitting my mom and my sister and all that stuff. And I'm like, damn, man, this sucks. Nobody's protecting me. My dad's the youngest of 15 kids. We have a huge family. His dad died when he was 8 years old. My dad's a very smart guy, but lacks the people skills. Cause he wants to pop off. The guy was a calculus teacher, engineer in Cuba, comes here, doesn't speak the language, is a Pepsi worker. He has good in him, but he doesn't know how to express himself. So my dad's the kind of guy, just to fit in and be like, hey, dime, Mike, ¿cómo estamos? Hey, esa barba. Hey, what's up with the beard? So my dad makes you shorter and fatter. I make you leaner and taller, right? So I learned everything from him. So as we grew up in life, I'm like, fuck, man, my dad, these are the holes that he had. He meant so good. Like, the guy literally lived his whole life next to me. And he lived his whole life telling me, you see this house right here? We used to have, there's a mamey. There's a fruit called mamey. It's like a sugary fruit that grows on trees. And we have a mamey tree in the back of our house. And my dad used to sit there in the shade and go, he would smoke a cigar. And he'd be like, you see all this? That's a bullshit house. But he'd be like, you see all this? My goal is so that when you and your sister have kids, man, I'm retired, I paid off my house and all this thing, right? So here's the irony of life. And this is what I tell people. I go, listen to my story. My dad stayed married with the same woman. This guy was lucky enough to marry a woman that he had two kids with when she was like 19 years old. So the only person my mom had ever been with was my dad, okay? He brings her to this country. They're married for 30 years, right? And they get divorced, not because the guy's a cheater, not because the guy's a gambler, but the guy's a borderline alcoholic that's miserable and has to be the man. So he was the guy that had my mom always in check, like typical Latin woman. She would cook, clean, everything, but never bought her anything, never made her feel special, never been anything. So the guy was that guy. And I was watching this guy fuck up all the time. And I'm like, that's a mistake. And that's going to be a mistake. And that's going to be a mistake. And that's going to be a mistake. And he really felt proud of me when I moved to Vegas, because I became the guy, right? And I used all my resources on people, because you know how this is, you build all these hookups, and I'm having lunch or dinner with fucking John George and Julian Serrano. These are world chefs, and I have all this power, and I used it on him. And it was the first time I saw him go, fuck, I'm proud of this guy. Because I'm wearing a suit and tie, and everybody thinks I'm the guy, and this whole bullshit. And when I was in Vegas, he goes, what are you doing, bro? You got a degree? Why are you living in a car? Like, stop with this acting shit. But it's not that I wanted to be an actor, Mike, because my whole life, everybody that I've looked up to, I've ended up meeting. Everybody, right? Like, literally everybody's literally like, oh, now I'm this person. I've interviewed this person, or I hung out with this person. And I realize my whole life, I had been compared to Stephen Bauer, which is Manolo from Scarface. Because I always have everybody so like, he's Cuban, he popped off, whatever. So me and him, through a connection in LA, the guy starts living in my house in an air mattress, because the guy, drugs and being who he was, took over his life and it was a complete set. And I remember I used to recite Scarface. Every Cuban kid in Miami did this, right? When we were young. Hey, who do I trust? Me, that's who would be Scarface. I'm here reciting Scarface with the guy, and he's literally telling me, bro, this is how I got this role. And I'll never forget, he told me like this. He goes, dude, when I was young, that right after I got Scarface, that the world became mine. Warren Beatty was always telling me, bro, come to my house. Let's talk. Let's go over through scripts. Let's do this. Let's do that. I was fucking around with Melanie Griffin 24/7. Melanie Griffin's like the Lindsay Lohan over time, like just like the Kim Kardashian, like just the person. Just grew up in Hollywood. Her dad was a big director. This, that. Destroyed his life. The guy went to that run. And he goes, bro, Sean Penn was always at his house. Look at the difference in my career. And he was a... And Stephen Bauer was adored. Like, that guy's an actor, which breaks your heart. He's such a nice guy. But Stella Adler, who, like, created acting, trained Marlon Brando, all this thing, took a young Stephen Bauer and said, you're the guy. You're the next guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there with this guy in an air mattress, sleeping in my place. And he's telling me this. And he goes, Hector, at some point, you're going to have to perform. Because people were looking at me because of my looks and my vibe, whatever. And we went to a play, and he was crying in the middle of the play, watching. And I was like a robot. I was like, why is this motherfucker crying? It's a stupid play. I go, oh my God, I'm not an actor. That's not my thing, right? So now when you put it to my dad, I sat there, and my dad, after 30 years, my mom divorces him. That's done. My sister stopped talking to him. 12 years. He doesn't know his grandkids on that side. I was the one guy that was always cool with everybody. I'm like, listen, bro, life's too short, whatever. As long as you don't ruin my party, bro, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? As an adult, listen, I want to get tattooed. Don't criticize me for getting tatted now, whatever. I got my first tattoo at 30, bro.
Wow.
Think of that. Okay, so I waited, whatever. So just don't ruin my party. I want to smoke a cigar. I'm not going to smoke it in your house if you don't want to. I'm respectful, whatever. And bro, my dad's the kind of guy. Here's a good story. My wife has was raised by her grandfather. Okay. Castro jailed him for 20 years. Incorrectly. Political thing. The guy's in jail, whatever. So my dad's alone for Thanksgiving. I come in from Las Vegas for a movie. My dad's alone. I'm trying to tell him. I go, buddy, look at your life, man. You got to change the way you are. Like, you're a good dude. Don't be the cool guy. Stop telling people this. Like, just be chill, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So we bring him along to the Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. He's my plus one, okay? First time meeting everybody. This is plus one now. Imagine this. First time meeting everybody. He goes to the, because us Cubans, we're passionate about three things, really. Baseball, dominoes, boxing, and the way we fuck. Yeah. That's our shit, bro. Like, we're the fucking men of that, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes to the old guy. He meets the guy. He's like 90 years old. He goes, let me ask you a question, man. In dominoes, double six, you come out. What do you do? This is the guy he just met. And I just finished giving him a 2-hour lecture of why he's alone Thanksgiving in this thing, Mike. And the guy goes like this. He goes to the old man. He goes, what would you do? This is in front of everybody. Because my dad's big, loud voice. And the little old man goes, well, you know, I would do this. And he went his whole explanation. And my dad in Spanish goes, mala jugada, por lo. He goes, wrong move, because what you got to do is. So, ironically, my daughter's born. My dad's there. He shows up at the house at the wrong time. Old school guy, wants the coffee, wants the whole experience. Oh, buddy, we just had a baby. You can't be showing up in the house unannounced. You know what I'm saying? So I had to warn him one time. Mike, the guy, the next time he called from the parked in the driveway, and he got out and he got pissed that I put him in check a second time. He goes, oh, take your fucking house and all your shit that you got, your money, and shove it up your fucking ass. And he left. And I grabbed him before he left. I go, listen to me, dude. You're about to make a big mistake with me. Because I'm not playing that game. It's okay. Just call. Didn't you have a lot of rules in your house that we had to respect? Good. Now this is my house, bro. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to fuck this up. Mm-hmm. Big Mike, that was 4 years ago, bro. He doesn't know my daughter. He doesn't know my son, yeah. Who's a savage, right? Who I'm training him to be the ultimate people person. Mm-hmm. And that's the moral of the story there. Wow. That some people, as much as you want, they don't change, bro. And there's a thing called the Cuban guilt that comes with a lot of ethnic families, mm-hmm. that they're like, oh, I gotta be nice to my dad because my dad bought me my house, or my dad this. And luckily, he didn't give me shit. Mm. Like, I grew up in a yellow school bus and I did this and I did that. So there's.
What do you think about, you know, just going through that experience? Why were you able to digest it the way you did and like actually. There's just so many people that go through abusive situations and either become the same type of person or become victims their whole life and everything. Oh, it's because, you know, this happened. And why do you think, you know, you kind of had an opposite reaction?
I moved that because it's my life. It's like I put you through this. So now you can go teach the world of how. So a guy who came from where you came from can be this now. Mm-hmm. And we're not gonna give up. So it's literally so that mentality, I made it outside myself.
Yeah.
So I don't matter. If I would've came here and you would've said, what's up, Hector? Yeah, do me a favor, bro. Can you clean this up for me, whatever? To sit down with you, I'm not gonna go, who the fuck does anything is? I'm gonna clean this up. Mm. I'm gonna, like we used to do, before you got to Duke, after the game, what would all us motherfuckers have to do? Rake the fucking field, right? And everybody was like, bro, this is bullshit, whatever. I started to treat it like I was fucking, what's his name? Eddie Murphy when he was the Prince of Zamunda, but he was at McDowell's there with a smile.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what the fuck? That's how I view life.
It's a great way to,
the fact that you allow me to be, the fact that I'm breathing, that I get to wear this and be here with a guy accomplishes you, I have a serious conversation and you take me seriously, bro, that means the world to me. Mm. Like I would be, I might never see you again. I might be there to train your kid and be like, bro, what do you think? But to me, that's how I live. Mm. And a lot of famous people that I see now, I took care of in Vegas that are now in the podcast and there are now influencers. Mm. And I saw them. When I took care of them in Vegas, I go, these are not these guys. But that's how life works. And I don't compete against anybody except myself.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're in a great space, really.
I'm in the best space. I'm in the only space.
Yeah.
You know, because I got a perfect 10 as a chick. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I have a million flaws that I try to fix. I'm over passionate about stuff. I get too excited. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see me text you, I'm like type you a lot. I'm like, hey, because I don't want you to think I'm a dick. So I like overdo it. Well, other people are like, hey, bro, okay, cool. So I'm learning you know, but.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like, we'll talk about betterment. And it's just like, there's nothing better than authenticity. So even if certain things may irk certain people, if you being your authentic self, there's something in that avenue that irks somebody, they're not really aligned with who you
100%,
really are.
100%.
No, not to say everyone, sometimes business or
yeah, whatever. There's certain points that you have but to me,
course.
I'm at like look, one of my boys, I don't know if you follow, having a great year, rookie last year, MJ Melendez. You know MJ Melendez? He's a catcher now. So
actually, yeah, I've spoken to him
before. So MJ, so his dad brought me in to speak at FIU, so I'm speaking to him. And the first time I meet him, I see him with his, he had signed, right, because he was a catcher, but he hadn't gotten to the big league. He was kind of a thing. And I saw him with his chain tucked out. Look at his chain. I saw, and he wanted a certain car, and it came into my head. I go, listen to me, buddy. Do me a favor. Till you pop, chill. Because mm-hmm. I don't want you to get hated on. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I'm the guy. I had no business. I didn't even know the fucking guy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I can't control myself, right? Just like I told you, bro, you're the next Bob Marley, man. Telling you. Now, you're not talking about the revolution because there's no revolution here, but you're talking about certain things. That comes from a place of, I don't think about that.
Yeah.
But I got to tell Mike that because no motherfucker's telling him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because fucking Drake is not going to go, hey, bro, by the way, let's come together. Listen, bro, it's going to come because of what's going to happen. You're going to pop at a circus. It's coming. You know it. It's coming. Now, you're going to be singing in a place with elite people and you're going to be like, oh, now they're listening. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Now it's really, because now it's cool. That's coming. I know it's coming. So that's what I think about.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think it's dope to be authentically yourself, though. And I said this off camera, but yeah, I even stopped podcasting on a normal schedule because I didn't like, it was the one part of what I'm doing creatively where I was like, oh, I'm in this schedule where I need to do this.
It's what I did. Look, he did my last guest. If you look at my next, look at you, right? Whoever, if I were to go to Spotify or somebody were to say, hey, man, we're going to sign you, whatever. I'd be like, look at these three guests. Like, well, how does this make sense? We did a huge entrepreneur guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do Pomp because Pomp had his thing there. Then I did the Cuban Ryan Seacrest, mm-hmm. who's a Spanish guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I got you next. Dana White after.
Awesome.
Okay. Marcus Lemonis after that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's great.
I got no cosign. I got no fucking bar stool behind me, mm-hmm. you know? I don't have a booker going, hey, you know, it's just the man upstairs puts mm-hmm. them in my place. And I go, when I saw you doing the ping pong, beer pong thing, I go, I'm going to reach out to this Duke because I saw the Duke thing. I'm going to reach out to, obviously you didn't see it, but the Pomp thing is what brought that in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the best part about the Pomp thing, mm-hmm. other than knowing the guy, is my connection with you now.
Awesome, man.
You know, one thing that I want to do is I want to go, not a big lie. I don't go to a lot of music thing, right? But I want to go to one of yours.
Yeah.
And I want to support you. And not only that, but I want to go and we'll pick the right one you told me because I want to interview your fans.
That'd be dope.
Like tell them like, hey, what's your song? What do you like about this dude? Whatever. And like kind of put something together.
That's cool.
You know what I'm saying? Like
more than welcome.
Like
bro.
A little thing there.
And
do that. So that way we can see like, hey, where's the people? What are they vibing? Where are they feeling? And do it in different spots.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'd be
really cool.
That'd be really cool.
It's a good idea, man.
To see your thing. Dude, like I said, I'm super happy with you, bro. Pumped. I know it's a Just Mike Now. Is that where people can find you?
Yeah. Instagram Instagram is just at Just Mike.
At Just Mike.
J-U-S-T-M-I-K-E.
And I think Twitter, I mean, no, not Twitter, I think YouTube is Mike Dot Now. Is this
might be,
Mike
yeah, period? Like if you go, like, how do you listen to music? How do you listen to
like
music?
Like Spotify, like I would put Mike Studd and you would come up.
Yeah, if you just put like, so the it's listed as M-I-K-E period.
Okay.
But if you type in Mike Studd or even just M-I-K-E,
M-I-K-E.
It will come up, yeah.
Perfect, dude. All right, there's the guy. The Legend, big things coming up, man. I'm super happy. Thank
you
so much.
Appreciate you, bro. Great time. Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.